A message this evening is taken from John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. And the title is, Are You Walking in the Light? Or are you walking in darkness or light? The Lord Jesus Christ has been approached by a group of men, scribes and Pharisees. They bring a woman who was found in the act of adultery. I don't know why they didn't bring the man, because there were two people obviously involved. But they have brought this woman to the Lord, not because they are affronted or upset with her sin and sinfulness. It's because they want to trap the Lord. And the Lord does not give in to their trap. Instead, he turns the issue around to them. He turns the point to their own sin. And so they're confronted with their own sin and sinfulness. And one by one they're convicted. And they leave. He asks that question in verse 7. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. You could say these were honest men, to a point. Because one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they realized that none of them were without sin. And so they leave off, probably not going away completely, but moving away from that area, because we are told that he's still speaking with the Pharisees at some other point. But the point is that they leave that woman. Now their own sin is brought to light. And the Lord, he releases that woman. And in saying, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more, he's actually saying to her, I have the power to forgive sinners. How is that? Well, in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And he continues to talk about himself being sent to the Father, being known of the Father, and so on. So Christ points everyone to himself, including the self-righteous Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, who thought they were innocent. Well, the Lord is telling them that if they don't come to him, they walk in darkness. And their self-righteous behavior is exposed. Well, we want to think about this text for our message this evening, particularly about walking in light and walking in darkness. And so just 3 points on this sermon. The first one is, we want to define walking in darkness and explain it. And then we want to define walking in the light as well as explain it. And then we want to look at the end result of walking in the light and walking in darkness. Well then, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks there that those that follow him shall not walk in darkness. Oh, what is walking in darkness? What is he speaking of? Well, there are many aspects of darkness that the Lord is speaking of. And it may be looked at in several ways. But in this case, we want to consider that darkness, to walk in darkness, is to walk in ignorance. in ignorance of God and his standards. These Pharisees, they bring this woman as though to say, we are righteous, and she's not. But also they are using deceit. They want to trap him. In other words, they are walking in ignorance of Christ. To walk in ignorance of God, as these Pharisees did, was to make the assumption that God's standards are not binding on everyone. And God's standards do not go as deep as they do go. In other words, they're saying to themselves, we're fine, she's not. They're using their own standards of judgment to judge this woman. And so they're ignorant of God's standards. They're ignorant of God himself. He's a holy God. He will not tolerate the slightest of sin. They're being partial with sin, aren't they? They bring only the woman. What about the man? He sinned as well. But they're being partial in terms of their sin in regards to themselves as well. And that's why they're convicted. When the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that was without sin among you, the Lord Jesus is actually pointing out to their problem. He shows them that they are as sinful as this woman, that they, in their ignorance of God and his holy standards, thought they had a pass, they were exempt. But the Lord shows them that they are not exempt, that they are as guilty as any other sinner. So they are ignorant of God's holy standard. But they are ignorant also of the fact that God sees all things and knows all things about them. Supposing they had said, we're not sinful, I'm without sin. Supposing they had said that, well, Christ would have simply exposed their sin if he had wanted to. That wasn't the Lord's way, but if he had chosen to, he could have. He could have told them all the sins that they've committed. Remember the Samaritan woman? He told me all that I ever did, she said. Where the Lord, he was able to reveal all their sins. But they're ignorant as well of the fact that Christ has been sent of God, that Christ is God. They come to trap him, but they should have known better. They're walking in darkness, ignorant of this Christ as the Messiah. They're ignorant of God's word, which would have pointed out the fact that Christ is truly the Messiah. Ignorance of God includes ignorant of the fact that he will bring us to judgment one day, that we must give an account of all our sins, of all our lives, from the first day to the last day of our lives. Every minute, every second must be accounted for. What did we do each and every second of time allotted to us? Time is allotted to each and every person. Every second, every nanosecond allotted to each person. What for? God has given each one of us time on earth to glorify him. And so to the extent that we don't glorify God, we stand under God's judgment. To the extent that we glorify self, to the extent that we glory in the world, to the extent that we revel in sin, to the extent that we do Satan's bidding, God's condemnation is upon us. But it's not just for sin that is done that we are judged or under God's condemnation. Our very nature attracts God's condemnation. Just for argument's sake, if I locked myself up in a room all my life, I didn't swear, I didn't steal, I didn't commit adultery, I didn't do anything that was outwardly evil, I never met anyone, would I still be under condemnation? Oh, yes. Oh, why? Two reasons why I would still be under condemnation. The first one is that condemnation hangs upon us because of our sin nature, apart from our behavior. Even if we haven't acted in a certain way, our being itself is sinful, so we are under God's condemnation. But also, locking yourself up in a room means that you're not doing anything for God. In other words, you're withholding service from the Lord. And to the extent that we hold or withhold our being from being used by the Lord, that is subject to condemnation. So we are condemned for our nature, we are condemned for our behavior, and we're also condemned for a lack of action in terms of God and His glory. We haven't done anything. So there are sins of commission, we commit sin, but sins of omission as well. Things that we're supposed to be doing, righteousness we're supposed to perform, and we don't. And so we are condemned. There's a triple condemnation there. Ignorance of God, walking in darkness. But also there's an ignorance of oneself. When we are ignorant of ourselves, of the true state of ourselves, then we're walking in darkness. The light hasn't dawned on us. These men, the Pharisees, were ignorant of themselves. They thought they were righteous. They couldn't see their sin. Christ has to show it to them, or reveal it to them, as it were. They are walking in darkness. We walk in darkness. When we judge other people based on our standards, I'm not as bad as anyone else, as everyone else. Don't speak to me about the gospel. Go and speak to such and such a person who is worse than I am. But that's relative righteousness. If we were to truly walk in light, one of the things we would do is see ourselves for who we are. What is the self like then? Well, ourselves are described in the scriptures as totally depraved. Or else, thoroughly without any righteousness of our own. Or else, incapable in our sinful nature to serve God 100%, because God's service must be 100%. Obedience must be 100%.
But we are incapable
of obeying God 100%. And even when we do obey God without Christ, we're doing it for selfish reasons. They're not arising from the righteousness of Christ. They're arising from our own perceived righteousness of self. If we truly understood and walked in the light, we would see that everything we do is tainted with sin. In kindness, there's sin without Christ. In a work of mercy, there is sin. In prayer, there is sin. In every aspect, tainted with sin. And we'll see ourselves totally corrupted through and through with sin. We'd understand that the only reason we seem sane and the only reason we seem okay is that Christ, by his Spirit, holds back a lot of our sinfulness. If the Lord took his hand off, his restraining hand of each individual person in the world, who is not saved, the world would be an unbearable place to live in. Think of the worst about human beings. Think of the worst dictators in the world. God lifting his hand off every individual would bring a multiplicity of wicked bullies and murderers. Every sin and any sin would be manifest hour after hour, minute by minute. Sin would be flowing out without God's restraining hand. People would be breaking into houses moment after moment and doing all sorts of things to the occupants. People will be breaking into shops. People will be doing the most wicked of acts. People will be walking into church and sinning right in the midst of churches. Ignorance of oneself. We have each one a fountain of sin that's kept from bursting forth by God. But it's there. And this fountain of sin can only be dealt with by Jesus Christ. But walking in darkness, in as far as ignorance of the knowledge of God is concerned, we also don't seem to understand that all the anti-God spirit that prevails in the world is orchestrated by Satan, that Satan is pulling the strings. We're ignorant of that. We're ignorant of the fact that God, that Satan uses the media and other associations and societies to promote an anti-God spirit. And so we'll be watching all these films, not knowing that behind the film is an orchestration of the evil one. Behind the fashion world is an orchestration of the evil one. Satan is on a mission. Satan isn't haphazard, as some people think. He has a plan. He wants to make sure that as many people as possible follow him to hell. And so he plays a huge part in orchestrating an anti-God spirit everywhere. And one would say that his greatest success possibly has been in the area of media. Get everyone to think in the same way, especially the young. Get the young to think through or think in the same way. How do you do that? Well, use music as one way. And dressing, fashion. And now social media. Use that. Pump out an anti-God message. Begin to distort the Bible. God is made out to be a myth. Gender is made out to be a myth. And anyone who upholds the biblical standard is considered to be a bigot. And if you are sinning against God, well, you're a hero and you're a nice person. Orchestrations of the evil one, that is walking in darkness, and mankind is ignorant of that. Mankind is walking in darkness because it's ignorant of the fact that God's guilt under condemnation hangs upon him. But man shows that he's walking in darkness by the fact that he has an aimless attitude towards life. Mankind wakes up in the morning to go out to work and then comes back home, but he really has no aim in life. There isn't any proper end in life. Eat, drink, sleep, have pleasure, and so on. Earning money so that one can go out on the weekend to drink alcohol. To have pleasure. Aimless. And then you ask the person, what do you hope to achieve with what you're doing, with all the sin that you're committing, with all the pleasure that you're indulging in? Oh, nothing. I just want to enjoy life. Is that enjoying life? You call that enjoying life? Being senseless on a weekend? And women falling about shamelessly. That is life. Walking in darkness, groping about like a blind person. The Lord Jesus says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth me shall not be in ignorance of God and sin and Satan and his devices. He that followeth Christ shall not walk aimlessly with no end in sight. Secondly, walking in the light described. This walking in the light, you begin to know God. Firstly, the light shines upon your heart, and you begin to see a sense of God, his holiness, his highness, and you begin to see that you must stand before him in judgment. And you begin to know something about yourself. You begin to dread the sin that's in your heart. You're frightened. You see that you're a sinner. Suddenly you begin to see the true state of your heart. You begin to see that the things you thought were innocent are not. You begin to see that your flesh is against you. The world and the devil are not your friends after all. You begin to have a knowledge that Christ alone can save you from your state of sinfulness. That without Christ there is no way out of your situation, of your life, of your state. You begin to see the need for holiness and walking with God. You begin to have a knowledge of eternal things. Walking in the light means coming to Christ in repentance and faith, trusting in his shed blood, holding on to him, yearning for sanctification, yearning to be more like Christ, yearning for heaven, yearning for the light of Christ all the way through, and yearning for others as well to come with you into the light of Christ. Dear friends, what is the end of walking in the light and walking in the darkness? Well, the end of walking in the light is to walk in more light. Christ says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You will possess the eternal light, as it were, or will possess you. This eternal light, Christ himself, will possess you, and you will possess him. He will be yours, you will be his. And this will be forever. You start with Christ here on earth. He possesses you. You possess him. That covenant, that relationship is complete and will never be broken. Once you walk in the light, you will always walk with Christ. And when you die, you'll walk in perfect harmony in the light with Christ. Christ, the light of the world. He will be your friend forever, your light forever, your lamp, your joy. What about the end result of those who walk in darkness? They'll continue walking in darkness. But here's what makes it terrible for these. They'll walk in greater darkness than they ever walked in upon this earth. Any goodness they ever had will be totally withdrawn from them. And then they'll walk. They'll go into eternal darkness, devoid of any goodness, of any joy, of any peace, of any light. They'll have eternal darkness deep within and without. And their souls will be shriveled, as it were, full of sin. Every manner of sin coming forth from their souls. They'll try to shrink away from that sin, but oh, they'll be attacked. Conscience attacking them. Sin upon sin flowing from them. There is no one to contain the sin, to restrain it. Their thoughts are constantly sinning, cursing God, cursing their parents perhaps, cursing any goodness, cursing themselves. Total darkness, no friends, no one to bring you relief. And this will be not one day, not a week, but 1,000 years will elapse, still darkness. 1,000,000 years, still darkness. And it will go on and on, living in a state of perpetual darkness and sin. What a terrible state that is. And dear friend, if you haven't come to Christ and you refuse to turn away from sin, that's your destiny. If you think there is evil down here below, that's nothing compared to what you'll experience without God's restraining hand upon you. The Lord Jesus Christ has made that statement. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he saith, he will banish sinners into outer darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ has said, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear friend, you don't want to be in that situation, in that state. There is only one hope for you, and that is Christ. He says, I am the light of the world. If you come in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be found to be in the light, and you will follow after Christ and never, ever walk in darkness. May it be that tonight you turn away from sin and turn to the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and he will save you if you come sincerely to him. Come to Christ, my dear friend. Amen.